For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Well, the Phils sure do play here, and when they do tonight, they're going to play a team, the Cleveland, you know, whatever they're called, that has the second-best record in baseball. That's pretty amazing. I mean, that sets up for an intriguing matchup and weekend, and obviously could be a World Series preview. 215-592-9494, or maybe the way the Phillies have been playing lately, it'll be Cleveland and the Dodgers in the world.
Good try on the music, Jimmy.
I tried, man. I
know, it was a good try. It was some new Jimmy.
Some new Jimmy?
Well, not new, but I don't play it very often. I only play it a few times. This is about it.
What is he, Tupac? He's still making music from the grave? What's going on? All right, 215-592-9494. Let's listen to Jordan Mulata for a moment and then right back to the phones, because Mulata yesterday certainly was looking to lay down the law as it relates to last year, as it relates to this year, and as it relates to discussing last year. So I'm sure various players are frustrated not only with how it ended, but how much they are asked about it. I asked Devontae Smith about it yesterday when we had him on the show. I'm sure it gets old. And Mulata is ready to turn the page. Here's Jordan Mulata yesterday.
How tired you guys are talking about last year? Does it come up inside or just when you're...
I'm about damn tired of talking about last year. I'm tired, I'll be honest. I'm only looking forward. You know, we can only learn so much from last year, and we learn a lot. And the direction that we're going now is forward. And we got to do that this year. I mean, talk is cheap, but I got a really good feeling about our offense this year and our defense. And, you know, if everyone can please stop talking about last year, that'd be nice.
All right, so here's the deal. I'm really torn on this one, honestly.
You said please, though.
I know. No. I
thought that was very sensible.
Very nice. Very nice. So I'm torn on this one. Devin, I hear the eh.
It's a little passive aggressive for me. Little, or maybe not even passive aggressive, just the, I know he said please, but like if Jalen Hurts said that, we would be losing our minds.
Oh, he would be unacceptable.
Yeah.
That's why it's okay.
But quarterback and right tackle or left tackle.
I know the positions are, I get it, but it just was a little flippant. And also like, how can we not talk about that? You guys completely, it was a historical collapse. It was horrendous. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to move past.
All right, James, where do you come down on this one? Because, I mean, I even felt a little uncomfortable yesterday asking Devontae Smith about it, in part because it certainly wasn't Devontae's fault. He's like the one guy that balled out down the stretch. Everyone else stunk. James, the last year thing for the players, what do you make of it?
I'm fine with the players moving on at this point. Like, I think it's going to be there. Like, you know, when things happen, it's going to be impossible, no matter what they say, for them not to think about those things. I think it's impossible for us, whether it's callers, hosts, whatever, to not reference things that happened last year because it relates to what we're talking about, and it's storylines, and it's how we project the season. That part of it is based on what we saw last year.
Right.
So I think we can't not mention it when it's relevant. But I understand if I'm the players and you've talked about it the first couple days of training camp and you're ready to turn the page, like, I'm fine moving on from talking to the players about it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, half those guys that were on that team doing those things, losing those games, are no longer even here. Especially look at the defensive side of
totally
things.
Changed.
And both sides of the ball have completely new schemes going on. Well, not completely new on the defensive side, but more cohesive on the defensive side. 95% new language on the offensive side. It has changed.
Yeah, well, I'm curious where everyone stands on that. As a fan, when you hear Mulata say that, your reaction, 215-592-9494, what do you think? Let's go to Gary in New Jersey. Hi, Gary.
Good morning.
What's up, buddy?
What's up, Gary?
Oh, man. Hey, if you want to get to know the USA track team, there's a good thing on Netflix that you can learn about Noah Lyles and Shakiri Richardson.
All right.
My kids are in the track, so like, nice. I can't wait for track this summer.
They're certainly not as big of stars as they were in yesteryear. There's nobody today that's of the ilk of, you know, Carl Lewis, and I'm not going to name all the others because I want to leave some of these answers on the board, but some of the athletes, certainly over the last 30 or 40 years that I've been accustomed to, they're not as big a deal as they used to be.
Noah Lyles.
And part of that is because the football sucks up all the oxygen of everything.
But maybe if we would pay attention, guys like Noah Lyle would be
more interesting. Wait, Gary, who did what's Richardson's first name?
Sha'Carri. She's great.
Yeah, she's really good.
And she's fun to watch. She also competes like in full like glam. She's got nails, she's got the hair, like she's pretty cool.
Okay.
So Noah Lyles is going for the 100 and the 200 this Olympic, and
I got
he's
you.
Like a wide receiver. Man, he is funny as hell.
Okay,
I love that.
Hi, Gary, what do you got on the birds?
How about Mailata with the self discipline? They had false starts in the first practice, and they self ran.
Yeah, that was very impressive.
It was him and Juergens. Look, these guys know how to get it done, and Jordan Mailata and Cam Juergens are guys that can run for days. It's no skin off their back. To me, that's more or less setting a great example
100%.
For the entire room.
Gary, I've got
for
the audio.
Entire offense, for that matter, for the entire team.
Gary,
if you don't do your job, there are going to be consequences.
Gary, we're going to play what Mailata said about that yesterday because it was fascinating. It's a great thing that they did that. Give me an answer here, Gary, from the Olympics. Something from the past. Really big.
About 1980 basketball team that still hasn't gotten their silver medals.
Well, it would be a great answer if you had the right year. So, 80, there was the boycott, U.S. boycott at the Summer Olympics. What you're referring to is 72, which could have been a winning answer, not for a good, you know, thing. 72 boycotted getting but chose not to get the silver after getting robbed in that game versus the Soviets. All right, let's listen to Jordan Mailata. He talked yesterday about how after practice Wednesday, he and Cam Juergens had set in motion this, hey guys, let's go put in extra work because we have to based on the way we just play football in the first practice. This is great stuff. I appreciate it on multiple levels.
During Lane said that you and Cam kind of initiated that the gassers after practice. What made you do that? Is there something you still continue?
Just trying to maintain the standard. You know, everybody thinks it's a joke, but it's something that we live by. It's unacceptable that we had three false starts yesterday, and that was including myself on the very first play of practice. So, you know, there needs to be discipline to, again, uphold the standard. And that's where it came from. You know, we didn't like how we were letting the stuff that we can't control dictate the practice, and we thought it was necessary to discipline ourselves.
It's really good on a lot
it's
of levels.
It's great.
It really is.
It's really great.
It's true leadership.
But again,
leadership.
These are guys who don't really need that extra oomph. They're just sending a message to everyone else. They don't need the extra conditioning.
Is what you mean. Sure.
These are guys who are in shape as well as any offensive lineman in the league, but they get out there and they set a great example.
Well, also with Kelsey leaving, that room, seeing Mailata step up like this, say this type of stuff, that's meaningful.
James, there's two things to me most meaningful from what he said. One, what you said, obviously, in reference to no Kelsey, like that's really big. Two, I really appreciated also when he said, people, make fun of the concept of the standard. But he's saying we're not backing off that. Like, he's basically what he's saying is, don't misconstrue. We didn't play bad last year because the messaging was wonky and the standard shouldn't be something we hold on to. We should hold on to the standard being the standard. We're going to still do that. We didn't live up to it. And so in that way, I don't know I don't remember if the standard came from Sirianni or Hurts.
It's Hurts.
Okay. So in that way, to me, Mailata's being a leader within that team saying, hey, we're backing the quarterback. Like, you guys might laugh at the standard, but don't get it twisted. It matters.
It's,
And I think that's another form of good leadership.
It's that standard. I watched that standard that you're talking about take place after practice when Dallas Goedert and Jalen Hurts ran 80 yards downfield racing one another to get to the end zone at the end of a period.
Yeah.
That is a sort of ties in. It's akin to the idea, running extra after practice. He, Jalen, the leader on the offense, the leader on the team for that matter, was racing the tight end ahead of everyone else, doing extra work by leading by example in the short time that we were there to see practice.
Yeah.
It really is. It all ties together, and it all really does matter.
215-592-9494. You can react to what Malata said. Again, it's a good passing of the torch of leadership to him, which he also yesterday referenced as being very natural for him. All right, coming up, something LeBron said about carrying the flag for the U.S. Devin White with something yesterday I thought was fascinating. More from Vic Fangio, what he said yesterday, plus beat the hammer today at 7:45.
Boom.
Of course. And, of course, the Phil's on the table as well. Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.
It's hot out there. And if you're tired of paying high utility bills every month because your home AC keeps running, it's because your windows aren't energy efficient. If yours are builder grade or over 8 years old, the seals are likely broken, air is leaking out, and you're paying the price in high utility bills all year long. Window Nation's high-quality windows are built to last a lifetime. And right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two windows free. And there's no limit to how much you could save. Plus, you can save even more with zero down and no interest or payments for 24 months. Window Nation's windows come with a lifetime warranty and can be installed in 1 day or less. They were even recently ranked highest on Forbes' list of best window installation companies. So you can trust Window Nation for high-quality, affordable windows. Stop paying more than you have to. Schedule a fast in-home estimate right now at 866-90-NATION.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Take the bass line out.
Oh, that'll work. Uh-huh. I like it. I don't remember you playing this before, James.
I think I've only played it like once or twice.
Well done, buddy. All right. So we got like 5 million topics today, including what besides the quarterback and the head coach, you know, intrigues you with this coming football season, good or bad. You know, something that stands out to you that, you know, has your attention. I had referenced earlier Vic Fangio. I mean, I'll be fascinated to see if he's the real deal the way a lot of people say he is. You know, we know this team needed a lot of help on the defensive side of the football, and obviously the main thing is getting players. I mean, they just did not have good enough players last year. But also, you know, improved coaching certainly can help, and hopefully, and in all likelihood, he'll bring that to the table. All right. Now, so you can weigh in on the Eagles and what intrigues you. Two other things from recent shows I want to get to. Two recent poll questions, and I have the results here, that I want to present as topics because they're both extremely timely this weekend. The first is the poll question we had yesterday. Now, admittedly, this was after a game on Wednesday night in which the Phillies had blown a lead, and maybe that's what swayed people to vote relief pitcher over starting outfielder. But the poll question yesterday was, what's a bigger need for the Phillies as they approach the trade deadline? 71% of people said relief pitching. 29% of people said starting outfielders. I think that result is the wrong result. I think it should be inverted. Guys, I'm not saying relief pitching is not something they could use a little more of, especially with some of the, you know, pitchers not pitching as well right now. But I do trust, for instance, Alvarado to be better in the postseason than Johan Rojas. And right now, I mean, you basically have Johan Rojas.
I don't know, Joe.
Pache,
if he can't throw
Marsh.
A strike, he's not better than Johan Rojas.
But he's thrown strikes a lot more than Johan Rojas has gotten hits.
Okay,
a lot
but
more.
But if he gets into a game and it's a top, you know, a top notch, like tough situation, needs that pitch, needs to get that out, it is a risk, a massive risk, a risk that I'm unwilling to take.
No, I'm not saying it's not a risk, but isn't Rojas more of a risk? I mean, a month ago they sent him down to the minor leagues because they thought he wasn't close to good enough.
Well, and he's been better since then.
A little bit.
And his defensive play has been consistently, even before then, incredible.
Well, he's been much better, I'd say, defensively since he came back.
Big time.
What worries me about Alvarado is I covered the game right before All-Star break, and Rob Thompson spoke specifically about Alvarado, and he said, you know, he was pretty confident in the fact that Alvarado would get right over the break, and that hasn't happened. And that concerns me. Like,
well,
I just don't have confidence.
His last outing wasn't as bad. It was the blown save was bad, but then he came into the next Pirates game, and he was all right. He got through the inning, only gave up a walk, I think, or whatever. So he looked better in that second outing.
I just don't feel super confident in him. If he were to come into a playoff game or a high-stakes situation, I don't have confidence.
Look, obviously there's confidence in Strom and Hoffman. And to a large extent, Kirkring, but Alvarado has teetered.
I mean, I trust long term. Like when we get, like again, we're a couple months away from the playoffs. Like I have more confidence that Alvarado will be ready in the playoffs than Kirkring, and I like Kirkring. But I mean, we're talking about a guy who's definitely going to set an innings limit, an innings record for him. Was in high A year ago. You know, like Kirkring's. I said yesterday, Kirkring's hit six guys. That is one off the lead for the team with Wheeler, who has hit seven in.
But his ERA is like in the
100 more
right?
innings. No, I know. I'm just saying, if we're talking about wearing down, like I have seen Jose Alvarado go through these stretches where he's not locating, he doesn't have the stuff right, his stuff's a little flat, and he has gotten back to being Jose Alvarado.
Let me ask you a question, James. Are you concerned that Kirkring could almost be like a Jalen Carter? You're so young that you wear down before the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I'm not saying I think that's definitely going to happen, but I'm just saying I'm more concerned come playoff time about Kirkring than I am about Alvarado.
So we'll put the question to everyone listening right now, and you can weigh in 215-592-9494. Which do you think is the bigger area of need? And with 71% of people yesterday in our poll saying relief pitcher, and we get thousands of people to vote on these polls. It's not like 100 people weigh in. When 71% said relief pitcher instead of starting outfielder, do you think people got it right or wrong? All right, one more poll from the past I want to bring up because, you know, we're also talking about the Olympics today, which starts tonight, as Devin said in the update, opening ceremony this afternoon. This is last call for alcohol. Well, you know, maybe not that. It's last call to get on the record before Joel Embiid plays for Team USA. We had a poll about a week ago. Maybe it was Monday this week. All these days run together for me. But we had a poll. Do you like Joel Embiid playing in the Olympics?
It was Monday because I was here for it.
All right. 52% of people said no. 48% of people said yes. Now, that tells me we got a juicy topic because people are really split. And we're talking about one of the two or three best players in Philadelphia sports. So, John, I'm pro Embiid playing for, I'm going to call it, two different reasons. Reason one is for him to be around the best players in the world, see how they operate, and to try to emulate that. And it's not just an all-star game, which really isn't taken serious. This is something the players are truly going to try for. And I want him to see LeBron James's preparation up close.
Yes.
I think that's valuable.
Yes, I agree with you. All right, so I also think it's valuable for that he's just on his feet and playing basketball.
Well, that's probably true,
too. I want him up and about because we saw that when he took even the smallest of breaks prior to the Olympics.
That's a good point.
He got out of shape. Just keep him moving.
Keep playing.
I just want him playing.
So that's an interesting point. Here was the other point I was going to say. And I know, look, obviously the biggest reason people don't want him to play, those that don't, the 52%, they're afraid that he's going to get injured. And, of course, he could. I mean, that's possible. But I'll say this. The NBA playoffs don't start for 9 months. I'll take my chances. You know, I mean, other than an Achilles or tearing his knee, and even if he tore his knee, he might be back for the playoffs at this point with the way modern medicine works. I mean, there's almost nothing else that could happen to him that would prevent him from playing this upcoming season when you have to really play the playoffs.
Please don't say
I mean,
we're not.
It's not too much. It's not March and the playoffs start next month.
It's freaking
July.
That's for sure.
So go play, dude.
And injuries aside, like, isn't it awesome that we have someone representing Philadelphia on the Olympic team? Like, I just think that's really cool. It'll make me more tuned in and connected whenever their games are on. So
you know the last time it happened? You know what happened?
What?
U.S. lost.
Oh,
Allen Iverson in
04. Why would you say that?
But, well, no, because I agree with your point, Devin, but it struck me because I quickly went through, like, I'm rifling through the years. I'm like, wait a minute. Because, you know, Barkley in 92, that was right after the Sixers had traded him. That was part of what was so tough about watching Charles play so great. I mean, I thought Charles was the best player on that team. Obviously, Jordan's the best player. But Barkley played the best, I thought, in that Olympics. This, you know, Allen Iverson is the last Sixer and probably the only Sixer ever because Barkley was gone. Allen Iverson is probably the only Sixer to represent the Sixers in the Olympics. And when they did, the U.S., it's the one time they lost since they went to the pros.
Well,
so, you know.
Let's hope Embiid did a little better than that.
Exactly. All right, 215-592-9494. So, pro Embiid playing anti, where you stand on that. Pro outfielder as the main need or pro relief pitcher as the main need. You know, these are the days for Dave Dombrowski. Clock is ticking, obviously. Early next week is the baseball trade deadline. Let's go to Wade right now. Good morning, Wade.
Hey, yo, what's up?
Hey, buddy.
Hi, Wade.
What's up? Yo, man, a disrespect, Joe, that you be dishing out in your voice towards John, man. I can't tolerate it, man. You know what I'm saying?
A disrespect to what?
The disrespect you do towards John, like in your voice, like when he's trying to talk to you about the NFL, and you just like blow him off, like you don't know.
I just don't like when he acts like Brett Soft being called out by his coach is no big deal. I mean, I love John. No disrespect meant. But here's the thing about talk radio, Wade. We just let it fly. Do you think John hasn't told me I'm an idiot 5 million times? There's no hurt feelings around here, man. There's no crying in sports radio.
I will crush your face.
You brush his football drunk, like under the rug, whatever. Like,
yeah, but not everybody that played the sport knows everything.
No. That's me. But you treat him like you think.
Well, I certainly don't intend to have it come off that way. Yeah, we're just wait. Hang on. We give our opinions. And John knows this, and I know this, and James knows this, and Devin knows this, and 99% of the audience knows this. Maybe you don't. We also joke around an awful lot. We're all good, man. There's no issues. All right, go ahead.
Busting chops is what we like to say.
All right, go ahead, Wade.
I know there ain't no issues, man. I'd come up there and take care of you if it was, but what I'm saying is,
I appreciate it. I really do, man.
The coach. He said what the numbers said. Like we already said, like, yo, while we signing him, he can't stop the run. The numbers don't lie. The thing is, well, people put expectations. Y'all expect something different from somebody. What they going to do? They're like, okay, we get this guy, like Tobias Harris. Okay, he's going to score 20 points. He never scored 20 points before he came to Philly. Why are you going to score it now? This dude, with the numbers, he don't play to run that.
Yeah, but Wade, you can't act like $51 million is $11 million. Obviously, Bryce Hoff is being paid to contribute an awful lot.
But that's not a lot of money. He don't get that.
But Wade, you're wrong. All right. Enough. I can't take that call. Don't tell me $51 million is not a lot of money. I mean, is it less than $150 million? Yes. But I'm not going to have a conversation where $51 million now becomes, quote, not a lot of money. All right, let's give you a positive something from yesterday. Because Vic Fangio, and James, this is the first of our various cuts from what Vic Fangio said. He had a very complimentary thing to say about Jordan Davis in particular, but part Jalen Carter, part Jordan Davis, but more focus here on Jordan Davis, and this was really good to hear.
Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter show up in. Are they ready for maybe an increased workload compared to the rotations of the last couple of years?
Yeah, I don't have a reference to compare it to, not being here before, but I do think based on yesterday's practice, which yesterday was the first time the 2024 Eagles had any team reps, you know, so really the first time they've done anything outside of individual drill, I thought they looked good. And I thought Jordan showed some good movement abilities, was able to bend his body that I don't think I've seen him do before. And so it's encouraging right now.
That's good. I mean, listen, bending the body is important for a D lineman, and Jordan Davis being such a big man, it's not that easy to do. So if he improved in that, if he got more limber, and that helps him be a better
player.
It's good,
but they're still out there in shorts.
No, I understand.
So I heard numbers thrown around. There were numbers, snap count numbers. I think it was yesterday. 60, 70, like these numbers were a lot higher than what we were accustomed to seeing.
You talking about practice reps?
No, I'm talking about they were discussing snap counts after practice. Vic Fangio was discussing snap counts after practice for the young D tackles. And it's hard for me to get my mind around this concept of, you know, that sort of jump for him. Like quadrupling his snaps, tripling or quadrupling his snap number. Like, I'm going to have to see that. Again, just like this defense, I need to see it in action before I say it's a good defense. I need to see him getting 60 snaps, getting 70 snaps before I say he can do it.
John, I would take 35.
And we have not gotten that.
Not even
consistently.
Close.
It felt like it was in the 20s. Yeah. I know a lot of times it was in the 20s. Not much more than that.
No. So to me, that was the biggest positive of what Vic Fangio said when talking about his defense and individual players.
That's very positive.
But let's get to what I certainly viewed as a negative, and others did as well, what he said about Bryce Hoff, who, of course, is being paid $51 million. So this, I thought, was a concerning framing of a situation from Fangio. Now, candidly, we're all still learning the Fangio thing. You know, maybe he's that old school guy that will publicly lay a dude out to motivate him. And that might be what's going on here. But Vic Fangio, what he said about Bryce Huff yesterday, for me it was concerning. Let's listen to what he said.
In New York, Bryce Huff was essentially a pass rush specialist. You guys have him starting here. Why do you think he'll be able to be a guy that can play on base downs?
Well, I think everybody thought he could. And knowing that the floor was just rush downs, but he's taken the challenge on very well, and I do think he has the talent to do what we want him to do. It's just he's got to get familiar with doing it, and so it will be a work in progress. Does he look like he could do it today? No, but I do think eventually he will.
Bryce isn't ready to be that guy yet. What does he need to do to become that guy?
Constantly show improvement and a feel. It's more of a feel. He has the talent to do it, but he's never been asked to do it, I don't think in college and nor with the Jets. So it's new, and he's got to become more proficient at it.
By the way, when Vic Fangio there said the floor just rush downs, I think he inverted it. He meant to say the floor, meaning what he's done in the past, is just pass downs.
Well, he means pass rush.
Pass rush. Yeah, but I think he just kind of said it backwards. Look, I didn't love that information from him, but it is what it is. I mean, you know, obviously we know Bryce Huff is better at rushing the pass than stopping the run. But I know this, for $51 million, I want to see him start. And I want to see him out there an awful lot and contribute in a big way. Let's talk to Warren in Gwinnett Valley. Warren, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Devin.
Hello.
Don't let them tease you about your E. That was a great E.
It was absolutely horrible, but thank you. I appreciate your support.
If you missed it, tune in at 9:15 and 9:10. We'll be playing Drop of the Week, obviously.
It's awesome.
It's awesome, yeah.
I was thinking... If the Hammer were injured and representing the station and the city, I would still want him to compete even if he was injured.
That's because I'm a Warrior. And you got to remember, Warren, and I think you know this about me, 60% of me is better than most people's 100%. And I'll prove that and beat the Hammer coming up at 7:45. I haven't eaten yet today. I'm sort of injured in my stomach. I haven't eaten. My mind is not as sharp as it normally
That's
is.
That's not sort Great. Of injured.
But I expect to win it
That's
in 10
minutes.
That's
not sort of injured.
I'm coming in hampered. Hampered.
Well, you have lots of injuries. I mean, you're telling us to go to the doctors and everybody that's helped you and dentists and everybody. So you're playing injured all the time.
Again, Warrior.
Warrior, absolutely.
Yeah.
on the Phillies. I would say that we could definitely use some help in the outfield. We could definitely use some relief pitching. I wouldn't be afraid to go out into the, you know, if we could pick somebody up without giving up anybody in our farm system, I think that would be a good thing for this team.
Well, that's the problem. Yeah. We're going to have to give up something. We're going to have to give up more than what I would prefer to give up, most likely.
Right.
I feel like we're so close to being where we need to be. Yeah. Is it worth it to sacrifice the farm for, you know, when we're this close? I'm not sure.
And Warren, know this, man. Like, sure, if you want to get a fourth or a fifth outfielder, then you don't have to give up much of a prospect. But I think they're looking for a starting outfielder or
well,
a pitcher that can
is,
pitch.
Win now or not. I mean, this team is, you know, it's been playing 500 baseball, and they can just, you know, tip over, you know, with some losses and losing series. You know, quite easily as we've
I know.
Seen.
And
you're right.
Said, they've got,
I know.
It feels like
coming up is, you know, are we up to the competition or we're not?
It feels like if not now, then when? You know, like if
exactly.
you're not going to go all in now, when
no,
would you?
You've got the starting pitching. You've got the bulk of the players. You've got Bryce
right.
Harper.
Right.
I mean, if you can do it now. But my other question is. Is Topper going to make the right decisions for the relief?
That's a big one, Warren. Come October, man. I mean, look, he's gotten so much right in October, but he has had a couple of whoppers, man. Over relying on Rojas, not changing the lineup last year at the very end, and obviously pulling Wheeler out, and obviously keeping Kimbrel in. Those four things. Are really big historically for playoff failures, which is a shame because otherwise he's been almost perfect. Yeah, but those were some big ones. All right, Warren, give me a great answer for the concert tickets. Other than the two all-time all-timers, Jesse Owens in 36 and Miracle on Ice in 1980, other than those two, what is the biggest Olympic moment or storyline of all time?
I can just remember Mary Lou Retton.
Yeah.
I mean, just lighting up the stage and...
I love that answer.
That was a
like
big
a
one.
She was a huge deal.
Her smile, you know, when she was landing those amazing maneuvers, you know, she had to put a smile on her
face.
That
was phenomenal, man. Mary Lou Retton, 84, and she almost died last year, and she came through that. She was really, really sick, but she came through that. Mary Lou Retton, 84,
was
a big deal.
She was so happy. She was so positive. You know, her on the cover of the Wheaties box.
Absolutely.
Everyone knows that huge smile. Everyone loved Mary Lou.
Everyone Redden. Our age and older.
Yes.
Because people younger obviously won. But that was a big deal in 84. So we got to give LeBron some love here. And I know he's a controversial, you know, guy. He's kind of a pain in the butt in some ways. But credit to LeBron James for now this year representing the United States. This is pretty amazing. For the sixth time in the Olympics. 04, 08, 12, 16. I guess it was 21. And now 24. That's pretty amazing. So LeBron James, and you got to think this is probably the last time. And it really will be interesting if he gets – I mean, he's going to play down the stretch whether he's, like, still a top five player in the court or not. He's going
to
get –
I mean, he got
those...
the final shot in the South Sudan game. Like,
he
they
sure
went
did.
To LeBron to win
and
the
he
game.
Made it.
He made it. Yeah, no doubt.
But what if you're playing Spain instead of South Sudan?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, no doubt. No doubt.
All right. So, but credit to LeBron. I mean, it's pretty awesome that he's in his sixth Olympics. And it's very cool that a couple of days ago, he was informed that he was going to be a flag bearer for the United States. Opening ceremonies, LeBron carrying the flag. That's a big deal. He obviously deserves it. I mean, there's probably 5 or 10 that you could say really you could make a case for. Him from a basketball standpoint obviously would be number one.
Six-time Olympian, yeah,
I know,
dude.
I know. So very accomplished. And an all-time NBA player.
Are we sure it's six?
Yeah, started in 04. It was right after
that's
his rookie
crazy.
Year.
That's crazy.
That just doesn't seem like the math is right. That's
Johnny, he's like, he's 700 years old.
My God.
He's in his early 40s or something.
Times.
I know.
Basically 700 in athlete
what are the
years?
04,
uh-huh.
08,
okay.
12,
yeah.
16,
yeah.
21, because the Olympics were a year late, and 24.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's really amazing. So the other day, he found out. The U.S. Olympic group went to Steph Curry and said, hey, on the side, we're going to give it to LeBron. We want you to break the news to him. So the news is broken to LeBron James, and then he had some really nice remarks. Here's what LeBron said when he found out he's going to be carrying the flag.
First of all, Steph, appreciate it. Thanks for the words, man. And definitely being a kid, we all come from, you know, different walks of life, different cities, different upbringings. I think the last thing on our mind we will ever have is carrying a flag representing our country during the Olympics. So it was never a thought, it was never a dream, but it's an absolute honor. And to be able to share that moment with you guys, it's gonna make it even more memorable. You know, so I appreciate it, man. Team USA has given so much to all of us, to me over the last 20 years, and I understand it right now in a country that's so divided. I hope this moment and that moment will, you know, unite us or bring us together, even for that split, even for those split seconds or those hours that we're traveling across that water in Paris. So I will hold that responsibility with a lot of honor and just say appreciate it once again.
Sir.
Thank you, man.
Very cool. I mean, it's a great message. It really is.
That's a really unique point of view.
Yeah.
I would not have thought of it like that.
Yeah. No,
you know,
it's
like
strong.
He did not imagine himself doing this as a kid growing up in the backyard. Like, this is the last thing in the world anyone envisions.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But it's such an honor.
Yeah. No, so congrats to him. And look, it's a shame he's kind of a diva. But, you know, there's a good guy in there, and you hear it there, which is great.
Good guy in there, and he never gets in trouble. He does always do the right
thing.
But
he's a pain in the butt.
He has been a stand-up guy. Yes.
All right, so...
He would be not a pain in the butt if he was on our team.
He'd be a pain in the butt.
He would be less of a pain in the butt if he were on our team.
All right, coming up in 3 minutes, Beat the Hammer. In 3 minutes, Beat the Hammer. So in honor of LeBron with the Six Olympics, we'll take caller six on the contest line. Caller six at 215-988. 1258. Caller number 6, 215-988-1258. You will be playing at Beat the Hammer coming up in just the next couple of minutes. Let's go to Jay. He's calling from Southwest Philadelphia. Good morning, Jay.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, Jay?
Hey, buddy.
Not much.
You sound kind of quiet.
Yeah, we got to get the energy
up
here,
you?
Jay. You're not in the library. No, you're on WIP.
You're not jumping, man.
No, come on, Jay.
I just picked my son up, so, you know, get my morning, get my day started.
Fair enough.
Is he especially quiet?
Oh, no, he talks too much.
Jay, what do you got for us today?
Oh, as far as the Phillies, man, I really think the outfielder have a more of an immediate impact. Because watching the game the other day, I know that Brandon Marsh issue was like a phenomenon, but it's depressing. Like, I feel like we need that bat, and we can get a relief pitcher, or we can get our guys that we already have to step up, but it's still not going to put points on the board. That's just going to stop the other
team. Well, here's an argument for the outfielder, Jay. You basically are weak at two positions out there, and between the combination of center and left, they're typically going to bat 9 or 10 times a game. That's a lot. That's a lot of at-bats. You know, and it's not like Castellanos is great. Now, you know he's going to play, but he's certainly not great. So, you know, the Phillies probably have, if I had to guess, and I don't know all the teams for all the years, but the Phillies probably have one of the weakest outfields of all time for teams that are on track for 100 wins. I mean, it's almost impossible to win 100 wins and be this weak in the outfield. But look, starting pitching's been there. The guys like Bryce and Trey and others have done their job, so... The relievers were incredible in the first half. You know, the four of them were incredible. So, but you want to sharpen up, and I think outfield is a important spot to add.
Yeah, I think it's a better pick if we had to pick the two. I mean, naturally, I would want both.
Yeah. All right, Jay, what do you got on Joel playing in the Olympics? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'm thinking he's starting to get into that Patrick Ewing knees era.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I think I might want to preserve his knees, but if he wants to represent the country, I'm fine with it. But if he gets injured, like, you know, he's going to have to do the backlash. Like,
do you support Joel wearing knee pads if the knees start going?
Hey, Patrick had that early.
Tampons on his knees. I feel like those knees are bound for destruction.
Patrick would ice his knees for a long time after those games. Man, all right, Jay, give me an answer.
I thought that looked tough. I liked the knee pad.
Well, he was a warrior. Listen, Ewing was a warrior. He never won a title in the pros.
I thought that I wanted to wear a gray T-shirt underneath my basketball jersey because Patrick Ewing
did. That's what the Hoyas would do, man.
I thought it was cool.
Jay, give me an answer. Jay, other than Jesse Owens and Miracle on Ice, next biggest Olympic thing ever is what?
I mean, awesome. It's awesome.
It's awesome, yeah.
I was thinking... If the Hammer were injured and representing the station and the city, I would still want him to compete even if he was injured.
That's because I'm a warrior. And you got to remember, Warren, and I think you know this about me, 60% of me is better than most people's 100%. I'll prove that and beat the Hammer coming up at 7:45. I haven't eaten yet today. I'm sort of injured in my stomach. I haven't eaten. My mind is not as sharp as it normally
That's
is.
That's not sort Great. Of injured.
But I expect to win it
That's
in 10
not
minutes.
Sort of injured.
Yeah, I'm coming in hampered. Hampered.
Well, you have lots of injuries. I mean, you're telling us to go to the doctors and everybody that's helped you and dentists and everybody. So you're playing injured all the time.
Again, warrior.
Warrior, absolutely.
Yeah.
on the Phillies. I would say that we could definitely use some help in the outfield. We could definitely use some relief pitching. I wouldn't be afraid to go out into the, you know, if we could pick somebody up without giving up anybody in our farm system, I think that would be a good thing for this team.
Well that's the problem. Yeah. We're going to have to give up something. We're going to have to give up more than what I would prefer to give up, most likely.
Right.
I feel like we're so close to being where we need to be. Yeah. Is it worth it to sacrifice the farm for, you know, when we're this close? I'm not sure.
And Warren, know this, man. Like, sure, if you want to get a fourth or a fifth outfielder, then you don't have to give up much of a prospect. But I think they're looking for a starting outfielder or a pitcher that can pitch.
Win now or not. I mean, this team is, you know, it's been playing 500 baseball, and they can just, you know, tip over, you know, with some losses and losing series. You know, quite easily as we've
I know.
Seen.
You're right.
It
feels like
coming up is, you know, are we up to the competition or we're not?
It feels like if not now, then when? You know, like if
exactly.
You're not going to go all in now, when would you?
You've got the starting pitching. You've got the bulk of the players. You've got Bryce
Harper. Right.
if you can do it now, do it now. But my other question is Topper going to make the right decisions for the relief?
Big one, Warren. Come October, man. I mean, look, he's gotten so much right in October, but he has had a couple of whoppers, man. Over-relying on Rojas, not changing the lineup last year at the very end, and obviously pulling Wheeler out, and obviously keeping Kimbrel in. Those four things are really big historically for playoff failures, which is a shame because otherwise he's been almost perfect.
Yeah,
but those are some big ones. All right, Warren, give me a great answer for the concert tickets. Other than the two all-time all-timers, Jesse Owens in 36 and Miracle on Ice in 1980, other than those two, what is the biggest Olympic moment or storyline of all time?
I can just remember Mary Lou Retton.
Yeah.
I mean, just lighting up the stage. And
I love that answer.
That was a big one.
She was a huge deal.
Her smile, you know, when she was landing those amazing maneuvers, you know, she had the – put a smile on her
face.
That
was phenomenal, man. Mary Lou Retton, 84, and she almost died last year, and she came through that. She was really, really sick, but she came through that. Mary Lou Retton, 84,
was
a big deal.
She was so happy. She was so positive. You know, her on the cover of the Wheaties box.
Absolutely.
Everyone knows that huge smile. Everyone loved Mary Lou
Everyone
Retton.
Our age and older.
Yes.
Because people younger obviously won, but that was a big deal in 84. So we got to give LeBron some love here, and I know he's a controversial, you know, guy. He's kind of a pain in the butt in some ways. But credit to LeBron James for now this year representing the United States. This is pretty amazing. For the sixth time in the Olympics. 04, 08, 12, 16, I guess it was 21, and now 24. That's pretty amazing. So LeBron James, and you got to think this is probably the last time. And it really will be interesting if he gets – I mean, he's going to play down the stretch whether he's, like, still a top-five player in the court or not. He's going
to
get –
I mean, he got the final shot in the South Sudan game.
He
like, they
sure
went
did.
To LeBron to win
and
the game.
Made it.
He made it. Yeah, no doubt.
But what if you're playing Spain instead of South Sudan?
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, so – but credit to LeBron. I mean, it's pretty awesome that he's in his sixth Olympics. And it's very cool that a couple of days ago he was informed – that he was going to be a flag bearer for the United States. Opening ceremonies, LeBron carrying the flag. That's a big deal. He obviously deserves it. I mean, there's probably 5 or 10 that you could say really you could make a case for. Him from a basketball standpoint obviously would be number
Six-time
one.
Six-time Olympian, yeah,
I know,
dude.
I know. So very accomplished and an all-time NBA player.
Are we sure it's six?
Yeah, starting at 04. It was right after
his
rookie
crazy.
Year.
That's crazy.
That just doesn't seem like the math is right. That
Johnny, he's like he's 700 years old.
My God,
he's in his early 40s or something.
Times.
I know.
Basically 700 in athlete years.
What are the years?
04, 08,
okay.
12,
yeah.
16,
yeah.
21 because the Olympics were a year late, and 24.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's really amazing. So the other day he found out. The U.S. Olympic group went to Steph Curry and said, hey, on the side, we're going to give it to LeBron. We want you to break the news to him. So the news is broken in LeBron James, and then he had some really nice remarks. Here's what LeBron said when he found out he's going to be carrying the flag.
First of all, Steph, appreciate it. Thanks for the words, man. And definitely being a kid, we all come from, you know, different walks of life, different cities, different upbringings. I think the last thing on our mind we will ever have is carrying a flag representing our country during the Olympics. So it was never a thought, it was never a dream, but it's an absolute honor. And to be able to share that moment with you guys, it's going to make it even more memorable. You know, so I appreciate it, man. Team USA has given so much to all of us, to me over the last 20 years, and I understand right now in a country that's so divided, I hope this moment and that moment will, you know, unite us or bring us together, even for that split, even for those split seconds or those hours that we're traveling across that water in Paris. So I will hold that responsibility with a lot of honor and just say appreciate it once again.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, man.
Very cool. I mean, it's a great message. It really is.
That's a really unique point of view. I would not have thought of it like that.
Yeah. No, it's
like he
strong.
Did not imagine himself doing this as a kid growing up in the backyard. Like, this is the last thing in the world anyone envisions.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But it's such an honor.
Yeah. No, so congrats to him. And look, it's a shame he's kind of a diva. But, you know, there's a good guy in there, and you hear it there, which is great.
A good guy in there, and he never gets in trouble. He does always do the right
thing.
But
he's a pain in the butt.
He has been a stand-up guy. Yes.
But, all right, so...
He would be not a pain in the butt if he was on our team.
He'd be a pain in the butt.
Yeah. He would be less of a pain in the butt if he were on our team.
Coming up in 3 minutes, Beat the Hammer. In 3 minutes, Beat the Hammer. So in honor of LeBron with the six Olympics, we'll take caller six on the contest line. Caller six at 215-988. 1258. Caller number six, 215-988-1258. You will be playing at Beat the Hammer coming up in just the next couple of minutes. Let's go to Jay. He's calling from Southwest Philadelphia. Good morning, Jay.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, Jay?
Hey, buddy.
Not much.
You sound kind of quiet.
Yeah, we got to get the energy.
What's up with
here,
you?
Jay? You're not in the library.
No,
you're
on
WIP.
You're not jumping, man.
Go, come on, Jay.
I just picked my son up, so, you know, get my day started.
Fair enough.
Is he especially quiet?
Oh, no, he talks too much.
Well,
all right, Jay, what do you got for us today?
Oh, as far as the Phillies, man, I really think the outfielder have more of a media impact because watching the game the other day, I know that Brandon Marsh issue was like a phenomenon, but it's depressing. Like, I feel like we need that bat, and we can get a relief pitcher. Or we can get our guys that we already have to step up, but it's still not going to put points on the board. That's just going to stop the other.
Well, here's an argument for the outfielder, Jay. You basically are weak at two positions out there, and between the combination of center and left, they're typically going to bat 9 or 10 times a game. That's a lot. That's a lot of at bats. You know, and it's not like Castellanos is great. Now, you know he's going to play, but he's certainly not great. So, you know, the Phillies probably have. If I had to guess, and I don't know all the teams for all the years, but the Phillies probably have one of the weakest outfields of all time for teams that are on track for 100 wins. I mean, it's almost impossible to win 100 wins and be this weak in the outfield. But look, starting pitching's been there. The guys like Bryce and Trey and others have done their job. So the relievers were incredible in the first half. You know, the four of them were incredible. So, but you want to sharpen up, and I think outfield is a important spot to add.
Yeah, I think it's a better pick if we had to pick the two. I mean, naturally, I would want both.
Yeah. All right, Jay, what do you got on Joel playing in the Olympics? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'm thinking he's starting to get into that Patrick Ewing knees era.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I think I might want to preserve his knees, but if he wants to represent the country, I'm fine with it. But if he gets injured, like, you know, he's going to have to go to backlash. Like,
you support Joel wearing knee pads if the knees start going?
Hey, Patrick had that early.
Tampons on his knees. I feel like those knees are bound for destruction.
Patrick would ice his knees for a long time after those games. Man, all right, Jay, give me an answer.
I thought that looked tough. I liked the knee pad.
Well, Ewing was a warrior. He never won a title in the pros.
I wanted to wear a gray T-shirt underneath my basketball jersey because Patrick Ewing
did. That's what the Hoyas would do, man.
I thought it was cool.
Jay, give me an answer. Jay, other than Jesse Owens and Miracle on Ice, next biggest Olympic thing ever is what?
I mean... Muhammad Ali carrying a torch to me was crazy.
That's a great answer.
Yes.
I hadn't thought of that.
What a good answer.
So 96 torch, that was a big deal.
Like, that was a magical moment.
That was magical. That's a very big deal. All right, also a big deal. Not as big a deal, but a big deal nonetheless, is the Hammer going for victory 256. Let's play a little game we call Beat the Hammer.
Beat the Hammer. It's time for Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, after Beat the Hammer today, we're going to play more audio from the Eagles yesterday. Something Devin White said that I loved yesterday, and Vic Fangio, more of him. So an awful lot up ahead, and including your chance to weigh in on all these topics. But Beat the Hammer, something we do every Friday at this time. And with 255 wins and a mere 41 losses, obviously, I've got a better shot to win this than the men's basketball team has to win gold in the Olympics. All right, that's the stakes that we've laid down here, all right? All right, let's find out with our contestant as he plays for a Bryce Harper T-shirt today whether DJ in Lansdowne is like DJ Dennis Johnson, knows how to play sports, or DJ Tanner from Full House, who's, you know, probably not a great basketball player. Hello, DJ.
Hey,
DJ Tanner was very capable, Joe.
But probably not in basketball.
Okay, I mean, maybe
you
she
don't
was,
know that.
She was
I
very capable.
But Dennis Johnson
at trivia,
was a Hall of
perhaps.
Famer. I don't like that I just leaned into a Celtic.
Yeah,
as a
what
good
are you
guy.
Doing here?
Like, all right, Mo Cheeks. Mo Cheeks. Andrew Tony. Hi, DJ.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, buddy. All right, DJ, I got a question before the questions really fire. There's an athlete that played for the 93 Phils who had the nickname DJ. Who was it?
You got me there.
That's a tough one. I'll admit that. Danny Jackson. That's a tough one. All right, DJ. You think you know sports?
Not the 93 Phils, but yeah, no, yeah, I do. Yeah, I'm good.
The category is not 93 Phils. I will let that slip. I will let it
John,
slip.
John, you can't feel too great about his presentation so far.
Well, that was kind of obscure. What you
did?
Yeah,
that was obscure.
There.
But he also said, "I don't know the 93 Phils, dude." I mean. You shouldn't call if you don't know the 93 Phils. Not that anyone would think that would be the topic today, but...
Yeah, why? Well, who cares about 93 Phils today?
Okay, fine.
Joe.
I mean, I always care about the 93 Phils.
All I know is I have learned not to go one way or the other with the presentation at the beginning. We've had people come in super hot. We've had people come in, and I don't think it really plays
sometimes
well
it's yet. A Trojan horse, man. You sneak people in there. And you don't know they're there.
Are you right. trying to hustle Joe? Is that what this is?
I'm a paid professional.
Yeah, there we're in a go. Pool hall right now. All right. Joe's about to get hustled.
Hey, we're behind you here, DJ.
This is Woody Harrelson and White Man. Woody Harrelson and White Man Can't Jump, and all of a sudden he can play hoops. All right, DJ, I'm going to step into the soundproof booth. Good luck to you, buddy.
All right, thank you.
Scram. Get out of here. Leave.
Yeah, hustle.
Yeah,
here,
maybe
Joe.
Show a little hustle. Yeah, okay.
Okay, or what are you doing?
He's definitely not hustling.
Of course he's not.
He's still lingering.
Hustle
about.
And the camera are antonyms. They are opposites.
He's waving to people and interacting.
Grandstanding, I believe, is the word we're looking for here.
Is that his friend?
I don't know. I don't know. I saw that.
What in the world is going
just,
on?
He literally just stopped and said hi here.
He really did.
Get out of here, Joe.
All right.
Is he gone?
He's out. He's
safely ensconced in the soundproof freezer. All right, DJ, you ready to play a game we call Beat the Hammer?
Hey, we're doing 55 seconds, correct?
Yes.
Dude,
you've been gone so long, you forgot.
It's been a while.
I know.
All right.
All right, here we go. Let's play a little game we call Beat the Hammer. Our category for the week is 1993 Phillies. Just kidding. Okay. That would have been something. All right. Our category for the week, a lot more topical. Our birds back in training camp. We're asking trivia about current players on this team, current Eagles trivia. You ready to roll, my friend?
Oh, I'm so ready.
All right. Clock will start as soon as the first question is finished being asked. You will have 55 seconds. Here we go. Question number one. Daniel Jones and Eli Manning are two of eight quarterbacks who started a game for the Giants while Saquon Barkley was there. Name one of the other six.
Name one of the other six. Tyrod Taylor.
Jalen Hurts is one of two Eagles offensive starters who played college football at Oklahoma. Name the other.
I'll come back to it.
Only one current Eagles player had double-digit sacks last season. Name him.
Jalen Carter.
Brandon Graham had eight different defensive coordinators as an Eagle. Who was his first?
Jim Schwartz.
How many current Eagles players were on the Super Bowl 52 roster?
Two.
Only one current Eagles player had double-digit sacks last season. Name him.
Jalen Carter.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You asked that one. It's the Jalen Hurts is one of two Eagles offensive starters who played college football at Oklahoma. Name the other.
Landon Dickerson? No.
All right, we got one. Started
Those
off
are
hot.
Tough.
Yeah, they're pretty hard this week.
Really tough.
Yeah, this is not...
I got the only one not Eagles related.
I know. All right, DJ, we got one. We have had 1-1 ties before. Not often, but it is possible. We'll wave the hammer back in.
Franny, is he jogging? Is he trying to make up for the slow departure? No, now he's
Why
got
are
his
you
hands
celebrating
raised.
Already?
He's got his hands in the air.
He's got a live audience
please.
Over here, too.
We got some folks who are standing
so
happy here.
You got
observing.
This dude in the Eagles. That's an old school
confused.
Last work, my
sick.
Man.
I think there are some folks who are very confused as to why Joe is raising his arm.
Because I'm
in
the hammer.
Adulation.
Yeah, John, it's like when Barry Bonds is
you
like,
haven't
I'm,
done anything. Like,
Barry
who's this
Bonds
guy? He's done nothing except walk out of a door.
Yeah, except for the 255 wins. I mean, that's part of the resume, too.
All right, are you ready? It took forever leaving and forever coming back.
So this guy, Jay, how did he do?
We're trying to do a live radio show here. DJ, not Jay.
Oh, DJ, whatever his name is. Oh, guy's name is.
You mean his name that you talked about?
Did I just call him Jay? I didn't realize. Did I call him Jay?
It sounded like it.
All right.
All right, you ready?
Maybe this is the whole, like, he's famished.
Well, I probably said DJ, you just didn't hear the D, but that's all right.
No, that's possible.
Remember, you haven't eaten yet, Joe.
I'm well aware.
You are really at a problem moment right now. You got no sugar in your bloodstream.
James, how did this DJ guy do?
All right, category for the week, you have 55 seconds. With our birds coming back to training camp this week, we're doing a little current Eagles players trivia. You ready, Roll?
Wow, current Eagles players. Dallas Goedert! Let's go.
Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. 55 seconds. Here we go. Question number one. Daniel Jones and Eli Manning are two of eight quarterbacks who started a game for the Giants while Saquon Barkley was there. Name one of the other six.
Say that again.
Daniel Jones and Eli Manning are two of eight quarterbacks who started a game.
I think the guy's name was DiNucci.
Jalen Hurts is one of two Eagles offensive starters who played college football at Oklahoma. Name the other.
Lane Johnson.
Correct. Only one current Eagles player had double-digit sacks last season. Name him.
Wow. I'll say double-digit sacks, I will say, is Josh Sweat.
Brandon Graham has had eight different defensive coordinators as an Eagle. Who was his first?
First is, is McDermott.
How many current Eagles players were on the Super Bowl 52 roster?
How many current players? I just got to give you a number?
Yes.
16.
We're on the Super Bowl 52 roster. You need to listen.
Time! What do we have here?
You have a 2-1 victory that you should not have.
You wanted to know how many players on this year's team played on the team 2 years ago?
The Super Bowl 52! Listen! 52! 52! That was 57!
Oh, wow.
Yes, the answer is four. It's Rick Lovato, Jake Elliott, Lane Johnson, and Brandon Graham.
It'd still be pretty hard to come up with a clock ticking. I got to rifle through the whole roster to figure out how many guys were on the Eagles 7 years ago?
It's not that.
Most people know it.
What kind of dumbass question is that?
Last year, there are six guys and two left. You're wrong.
I still won!
So, I asked it to Wechter and you, Ram. They both got it right this morning.
Dorks.
Barely won. By the way, Bryce Huff, double-digit sacks last year. Eagle. We've talked about
that. That's tricky. That's a tricky question.
DiNucci
was the Cowboys guy. You were thinking of DeVito. Yeah. It was DiNucci was the Cowboys guy.
They were
guy.
Both meatballs.
Tyrod Taylor, Jake Fromm, Colt McCoy, Mike Glennon, Davis Webb, and Tommy.
So it was a bad performance.
It was terrible.
Fine, but I still
DiNucci?
Won. So who was DiNucci? The Cowboys guy?
Yeah, yeah. Ben DiNucci was the Cowboys guy.
And who was
guy.
That loser last year for the Giants?
Tommy DeVito. Remember the same name as the Goodfellas character?
DeVito. Danny DeVito. Whatever. Look, I'm the Hammer, all right, 256. Listen, let me say this to the kids listening that heard me for the first time. I apologize, all right? You didn't hear the Hammer at his best, okay? I admit it, not at my best. But here's the deal. Still good enough.
Trust me when I tell you there's a lot of shame right here.
Right here. No, I was really bad today. Shut it all down. Shut it all down.
Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
What's the thing with the NCAA tournament? Survive and, what's the other word? Advance. I advance the weekend with a smile on my face with a W. 256. Thank you very much. All right, so DJ, you don't get a prize. Sixth caller in the contest line. Caller six, you're going to win the Bryce Harper T-shirt. Caller number six, 215-988-1258. Caller number six, you'll win that T-shirt. DJ, let's just quickly round it out with you. So I wasn't at my best. You may have been at your best. You lost.
That's not going to get me through today. That's going to hurt my feelings really bad.
As it should. Listen, the audience knows
I was beatable today.
But they were some weird questions. I mean, how many Eagles were on the team 7 years ago?
That's not a weird
question. Not a weird
and
question,
I
got to
come
man.
Up
there
with how many sacks a freaking Jet had last year?
It's a rat's ass.
That question was a trick question.
What was the other question
again? Current Eagles who had double-digit sacks last year.
Giants, third quarterback.
Yeah, right. Who got that right? DJ.
What do I care?
Yeah.
What do I care? All right, DJ, we done?
Stop deflecting. You did bad today. Own it. Accountability, right?
DJ,
accountability.
He did warn us that he was a little off.
It does matter.
You rammed up 4 for 5. Wechter got 4 for 5 when I asked him the question. So rein it in,
big Joe Wechter a dork, too?
I call him more of a, what would he be? Oh, man, I got to be careful with
this. A Klavan?
he's just, there's a lot of history there. There's a lot of
A Luddite.
He's calling him old. Is that what you're trying to do here? is that what you just did?
All right, let's go to the phones. If you want to take a whack at the Hammer for not a good performance, I'll own it.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.